This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here we go. Oh, hi. Welcome to Food for Thought. Let me try that again.
Good. I really like that.
No, I did, but I said, woo, 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 woo. Woo, 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 woo.
I was like, oh, my God. Did Taylor Swift just come and introduce our show?
Would not watch.
Very white girl on.
Would not watch.
Hi! Welcome to Food for Thought, where a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to gab about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought.
Dance.
Oh, I hate you, Tommy. I hate you.
I'm Brian Fellows. I mean, Tommy Pico, Indigenous American poet, editor, and aspiring Terry Gross.
Oh, ooh. I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, writer, militant verse, and number one fan of femtops and butch bottoms.
I'm Fran, writer, editor, and proud collector of over 14 different kinds of glitter.
Circuit queen.
Literally true.
Circuit queen.
And I'm Dennis Norris II. I'm a reader, writer, former figure skater, and I'm Taylor Swift's new resident black friend.
Oh, no, my God. Get out.
Get out.
She still needs one.
Well, all right then. Joe, will you tell us what we have on the menu today?
Yes, boys. This week, we have great smelling butt sex, answer the question of our one adoring fan, and find out who's a pitcher and who's a catcher.
I feel like they know.
Just kidding. We're all bottoms.
Spoiler alert.
Take it away.
Nom 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 thoughts. I'm feeling a little bit peckish, so I think it might be time to start our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Bouche. And our Amuse Bouche this week is a game called Incense or Gay Sex Position.
I'm horrified.
The way this is going to work is I'm going to start you off with a couple of easy ones. We're going to go clockwise. So first you'll hear from Dennis, then Fran, and then Joe, particularly because I'm pretty sure Joe has done all of these positions before. So, like, I don't want him to spoil it for us.
That's true. But sometimes you do something without knowing what it's called.
You're going to know soon.
If there's anything Joe likes to do, it's bringing up the caboose.
Okay, here we go.
Seriously.
Frottage. Dennis.
I'm going to go with sex position.
Fran?
I think that's an incense.
No, it's a sex position. It's when you rub your bodies together without penetration.
Oh, my God. That's what it is. Frottage.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This game is really highlighting how much I hate incense and adventurous sex positions.
Literally with or without clothes. Here we go. Sunflower.
I'm going to go with incense.
Fran?
Incense, yeah.
Yeah, definitely incense.
It is incense. See, y'all know.
Okay.
Lotus.
I'm going to go with sex position.
I'm going to say both.
Both, same.
It is both.
Yes!
Lotus is when both people sit facing each other with their legs crossed behind their partner.
Yes.
Making
love.
Oh,
I've done that.
I've done that.
Cold steel.
Oof.
Oh, my goodness. That can't possibly sound like anything comforting, so I'm going to assume that that's a sex position.
I hope it's an incense.
I think it's a sex position.
It's an incense.
Oh, no.
What does that even smell
I'm
like?
Going to make it a sex position tonight. It will be a sex position.
Teaspoons.
I'm going to go with sex position again.
Yeah, I'm going to agree, Dennis. It's sex position.
Yeah, I can't be controversial. I think it's a sex position.
Teaspoons is a kind of gay missionary position. Mm. Straight people would call it doggy style. Ooh. But teaspoons refers to both partners are kneeling.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I love that.
A fun fact, spoons on its own is when you're lying down.
Right.
Yeah. And you fuck in the butt. And the wiki how or whatever that was listing all these positions, like, this position is favored when lovers are either first waking up or extremely tired. And I was like, you're so tired, but you still want to get
also,
it in?
All of the time that I have sex, you guys, I'm just either just waking up or extremely tired, probably both.
Dennis, magic flute.
Oh my God. I'm going with sex position.
It's an incense. I think it's an incense.
I definitely think it's an incense.
It is an incense.
It's also like an opera question mark.
Yeah, I'm like, I've played that magic flute before.
Dennis, honey, I'm sure you have.
Hanging feed bag.
What? No. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but once again, that has got to be a sex position.
That's a sex position.
That's a sex position.
So a hanging feed bag is an oral position where the person getting head drapes their legs over the shoulders of their partner.
Mm-hmm. You need a headboard for that, to be honest.
And the extremely athletic or adventurous, you can also do this standing up.
Oh, no.
I'm like trying to picture it and I'm not entirely succeeding.
I've seen that in a video, but no.
Snake charmer.
I am going to go with incense on that one.
Sex position
incense,
for Fran.
Incense, I think.
Snake charmer is an oral position.
Oh, yeah! Of course it's oral.
Wherein the person getting head is doing a handstand or is otherwise suspended upside down because you're trying to get the dick up.
I have to go back to Pilates.
Yeah. Well, the suspension makes it easier. I mean, that's normally when I've seen it has been.
Yeah, cool.
The BDSM suspension context.
Heavenly bamboo. I'm skipping right over that. Heavenly bamboo.
I'm going to go with an incense.
Incense, I hope.
Oh, sex position. Why not?
It should be a sex position, but it is an incense.
Heavenly bamboo.
Forbidden fruit.
I'm going to go with incense.
Incense for sure, yeah.
I think sex.
Forbidden fruit is another term for analingus.
Oh. Mm.
And if the gifts I've seen are to be believed, it's when the analingery is laying or kneeling on a bed and the analingerer is on the floor.
Also,
I love that you clearly Google all these and Google image search them even.
Yeah.
So when you deduct on your taxes next year, like, you can be like, no, I use my internet for work. Look at my browser history.
Can there be a Grindr category called analingerer?
Yeah, can that be a tribe?
And
please?
Two, I reject the notion that it is called forbidden fruit and will never, ever. I will live in denial. Yeah, Fran is not a real thing.
No, Fran is not. He's not going to have analingus anymore. He's just done with it.
I'm just saying, forbidden fruit, we're over.
I think it's forbidden fruit because it's like elevated. So they're on the bed and you're like on the floor kneeling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Next up, beyond paradise.
I'm going with incense.
Incense, yeah.
Yeah, I think 100% incense. Yeah.
Beyond Paradise is an incense.
Okay, great. Yeah,
I wish these had copy next to them so I could tell you what it smelled like, but I didn't and I couldn't find it anywhere. But you can find all these fine incenses on eBay. Mm. Next up is Pearly Gates.
I'm going with sex position.
I'm going to say both.
Hmm. I think sex position.
Pearly Gates is a form of anal wherein both parties are lying on their backs on top of each other.
It looks like they're crab walking.
Oh, I love that.
No, that does not sound
that
like.
That doesn't sound. I don't understand how like the dick goes between exercise. Them.
Oh, the dick is right here, and the butt is right here, and they're doing this.
This is radio, Tommy. They can't see what you're doing. It's in your hands.
Okay,
it'll go in the show notes.
That's a good position.
Okay. No, they're laying on their backs on top of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
As per exercise and sex, I don't do things that necessitate core strength or strength at all for that.
Oh, it's really not that different from reverse cowgirl, to be honest.
Okay.
It's pretty easy. Okay, you see it in porn all the time.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Next up. Pie in the sky.
Mm. I'm going with sex position.
Sex position, yeah.
I think incense.
Pie in the sky is a form of analingus, wherein the analingeree is pushed onto his back or shoulders and the buttocks is hoisted up in the air.
I like how it's all just, it's every sex position, it's just, it's a form of anal analingus. Something. It's a yes. form of anal something.
That is beautiful.
Which could be a tagline for the show, to be honest.
What I did was I looked at GIFs and then I wrote the copy.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Okay. Even better. Okay. Makes
sense. So the final one in our game of incense or gay sex position, lick me all over.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that has to be a sex position.
I think it's both.
I think it's an incense.
It is an incense, Joe.
No.
Lick me all over yeah. is an incense.
But it could also...
I mean, it's whatever. Clearly trying to inspire a sex position.
Right, right.
So.
It's the incense you smell while you're having sex. Exactly. You put it on yes. to set the mood.
Yes. Thank you for playing. This has been another installment of Amuse Bouche. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Goodbye.
Yes. Boom, boom. Our next segment is called Penny for Your Thoughts, in which people, real life people, have emailed us with their questions, concerns, other different things that just poke in their brain right now. And we will, by the grace of our own hearts and minds, we'll give them advice because yes. we're all extremely qualified to give
be
advice.
Honest, to poke around somebody's brain.
Mm-hmm. We wanted more dick pics on the inbox, you guys. So please... Please send us the
Please.
DMs.
Yeah, send us a dick pic along with a thoughtful question.
Yeah, both hands.
Yeah, no, we're That's a show that could do both. Yeah,
we come on.
Get to a show that could do both. Mm-hmm. Watch, we're going to get so many dick pics. Inboxes. We have one question from a super thoughtful reader who said, I've been talking to a lot of people I know about their thoughts on astrology. I'm a subscriber, but I know not everyone is. Curious to know what y'all think and also what your signs are. Completely out of self-interest to guess to see if I can guess them. So this person is a bit of an astrology buff. Sun, moon, rising, whatever. Also, is astrological compatibility a thing y'all use for finding love? Do you like meaning like do you seriously consider it? Is this something that comes into like your everyday, your relationships or like stuff that you do?
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Joe?
So I'm a scientist, right? So I'm not supposed to believe in this stuff. And I didn't for a very long time, kind of like I was religiously opposed to astrology. But through a good friend of mine, who was both very, very smart and very into it, she was like, let me do your thing. And she did my thing and it like read me for filth. And so like I believe in it in such a way where it like, it just is another framework. It's another lens to look at your life and personality and Absolutely. Try to think about compatibility and who you are and like how to be your best self.
I love a good artifice. You know what I mean?
But like every artifice has value, right? So it's like pulling the valuable things for you. I am the world's most Pisces. And it was super important for me, I think, in my young 20s to understand that because again, as a queer boy in America, in the world, you're not allowed to be sensitive.
And I think, feel like you announced that maybe within the first conversation we ever had.
Yes, yes you did.
It's something because, that you broadcast.
No, and I mean, it is me. It, like I am very emotional. I respond very emotionally. I'm very intuitive. I can read people. Like all of that is absolutely me. But like my moon is in Pisces, or my moon is in Virgo, which is also like the kind of drive and the trying to control my fate is totally there.
You know what's crazy, Joe, is that my moon is also in Virgo. Isn't that crazy?
I mean,
that
you
we
are,
have a thing in common.
But like we are, you are very Virgo, honey.
I know. Like, well, I do have in that I'm like a passive aggressive and
control
or aggressive
freak.
And a bit of a control freak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what else you got on the chart, Fran?
Well, to contrast Joe, and I'm sure everyone who has listened to the podcast thus far can already tell that I'm the world's most Taurus. Like my sun is in Taurus, my ascending is Taurus.
What does it mean?
It means that I am...
Wait a minute. Your rising sign and your sun sign is in Taurus?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're a monster.
Yeah, I'm
Fran
a monster.
Fran is a monster.
I'm a literal monster. No, I mean, what it means is, I mean, so Taurus is an earth sign. It's the bull. I'm incredibly stubborn. I love power moves. I love like taking control of things and people when it's convenient for me. But something that my chart did say, and I hope everyone here will agree, is that like even though I can be really terse or really cold in some of my relationships, I'm like unmistakably compassionate. I feel like as I've moved to New York, that's BS, like
New York beats
true,
that out of you.
Yeah, beats the shit out of you. But I am like people, I feel like probably all of us have this quality where we're the kinds of people I'm very drawn into conversation. That's super important to me in relationships. And people are drawn to telling me literally everything about them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you guys are that kind of person, but
absolutely.
I think mm-mm. it's because I can come off as someone who's underneath the sleek, cold, wearing all black silver hair thing. Like, yeah, I have a heart.
What's your moon?
Yeah, my moon is in Virgo. I think that part of my chart was telling me that I'm overworked all the time and that you guys are going to be shocked by this one. Presence and like visual image and like my visual perception of myself is like extremely important.
how many Instagram followers do you have, friend?
Who incentivized branding for this podcast? I feel like that was very true. And yeah, to your point, Joe, I do feel like that's what I think is the true power of astrology, in that astrology is something that tells you how your life is supposed to be. And by way of almost a some kind of placebo effect, you help that come to fruition by believing in it.
And it's confirmation bias, right? Because the things that are true,
that's what it is,
you pay attention to, and the things that aren't true, you don't. So like, there are absolutely logical fallacies in how we understand our charts and ourselves. But like, my point is that anything that helps you make meaning from your life and from yourself is not necessarily bad. And like, every, you know, as long as you're cognizant of the fallacies and everything.
Yeah, it's the same logical fallacies that exist in religion.
In religion, exactly. Yeah. Right. Tommy, what about you?
Actually, I want to hand this over to Dennis.
Okay.
You've been a little bit quiet there. So what's your name? What's your sign?
Okay. So this was kind of interesting because I was like working all weekend, right? Like I was just like basically 24/7 working at my job. I just finished and I got into a cab and came over here to this recording session. Ooh. And I literally did my astrology chart in the cab on my phone. That's right. For modern technology, right?
Classic Dennis.
So my sun is in Sagittarius. My moon is in Sagittarius. Oh. And my Mercury is in Scorpio. Oh. Well, the first sentence of my analysis reads this. Sun in Sagittarius. Restless, cheerful, and friendly. Sun and Sagittarius people are generally on the go.
Yeah.
And you're like, in the
cab. Wow. Yeah. As I'm in the cab, late to this recording session, by the way. So I was like, well, this is going to tell me about myself.
And it does. It reads you.
It does. It read me for filth.
Yeah.
It talked about the way in which I really love freedom and I hate a routine. And that's really true. I like hate the fact that I like have to go to work every day and I'm supposed to be there at a specific, I mean, I arrive late every day.
Surprise. No one.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, I don't like being told what to do. It talked about the way in which although I'm generally easygoing, Sagittarians tend to be we are a fire sign. So we often have a quick temper. And that's also true as well. But we're also just as quick to forget what made us angry in the first place. And I was like, I do have the ability to hold a grudge and remember why, but I still thought that was pretty accurate. So it sort of described me as being fun and cute and idealistic and popular and all of these things.
Dennis, before today, did you know what your sign was? Well, your sun sign.
Before today, no. I knew that I was a Sagittarian, but I don't know the difference between what it means to the sun and the moon and the Mercury. Like, I don't really understand what that means. Wow. A few minutes ago, a friend was like, oh, it just means the sign that your planet was in when you were born. Like, each planet. But I'm like, well, the planet was in a sign, like... I thought
there
it was
is, there is
like I don't understand. There is like I don't really understand all of.
There is a science to it, and it's actually remarkable. I think that people. I mean, one of the first things that people took on in like the scientific enterprise was charting like the sun and the stars and how they moved. Right. That's why you just put in your date and time of birth, and like every website will give you the same answer because it's a math problem. Mm-hmm. So it is based in something, you know, that has to do with the position of the sun. And
there's
the
something so beautiful about like that primordial human exercise of gaining meaning from the stars.
Absolutely. It like anything else is as powerful as the power you give it. It's right. Like you choosing to decide that it's powerful or meaningful to you is what gives it meaning.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said.
And it's also a way in which you just pay attention to your reading of something.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It gives you a framework.
Yeah.
Tommy, what's your sign, baby?
I'm a Sagittarius. Ooh. My moon is in Aries, so both my sun and my moon are fire. My Venus is in Scorpio. Ugh. And I'm a Cancer rising as well as Joe. I found out that my best friend is also a moon in Aries and a Cancer rising as well. And when we sort of compared notes, it made a lot of sense. Astrology isn't something that I've paid terribly a lot of attention to. When I did my birth chart today, I looked up my birth certificate so I could get the time just right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. 1849. It says that I love to chat, enjoy storytelling, writing poetry, what? Sometimes enjoy bending the truth, and that I possess a sparkling wit. You are very animated when you speak, and you have a sense of humor that others appreciate simply because it's very imaginative. And I was like,
I
want to
throw
bitch.
Wine in your face right now. I want to throw wine in your face.
You also said good. I like to be surrounded by original people. That's obviously not true. Look at this room. Then there was another one that said a moon in Aries gets bored very easily. They've been accused of causing confrontations just to keep things interesting.
I mean, I'm sorry, no. Makeup sex is spectacular.
So good. Oh my god.
Okay, hey, but fucking. For real, that story about Tommy and his cousins in Vacation Bible School.
Yes, that's what it was. Oh my god. Getting everything. You're getting your cousin to throw red Kool-Aid on your other cousin. Yeah. Yeah. I had to stage an event. There was another one that like it did kind of read me in a way where it was like you're just gonna have a series of crushes and flings throughout your life. You're never gonna be in a relationship because like a relationship feels like a routine and a routine makes you anxious. And again, I was like, who, bitch?
Yeah, that's Tommy as fuck.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So yeah, that was. I mean, I think yeah, we all kind of put stock in it,
right?
So I think it's time we move on to the meat of our conversation, thought process, spelled T-H-O-T, that we're calling Player Position, where we talk about gay fucking, as if we haven't already been talking about it the whole time. So yep. The reason I wanted to talk about it this week was I was hanging out with my crush, one of my crushes, as my birth chart let you know. I have many of them. But really, it's a tool for my ambition. So it's like, in order to go to the gym every day, I have to have a crush on somebody at the gym, and I won't miss a motherfucking day.
If I'm
in a subway, and it's horrible, and it's crowded, and it's hot, all I have to do is fixate on one person, and they become my crush, and then I'm fine.
The power of the crush, yes.
Like, my ass is in my dental hygienist chair every 6 months to get my teeth scrubbed because I have a crush on that man. Shout out, Gary. Hit me up. Anyway, so I was hanging out with them and I was like, hey, crush. And he was like, oh my god, I just went on my first Tinder date. The guy was really awesome, and this is what happened. And I was like, want, want. Like, I was a human winky frowny. I was like a fart away from a tear. So I pivoted the conversation a little bit from this one particular internet date to the mechanics of internet dating. So we started talking about the difference between Grindr and Tinder. Yeah. Grindr is one where you can put in what's your preferred sexual role. Right. And in Tinder, you can't do that. And like, Tinder always seemed to me, although I haven't used it that often, but it always seemed to me as like a Pokemon, like gotta catch them all, rather than a venue for conversation and dating. And so we were talking about one of the why that could be. And so one of our hypotheses was that because you can't put your position into Tinder, and people are generally like a little bit more forthcoming about that, like, are gay dudes more hesitant to engage with other people when they don't know what they want, what they're gonna do? And then the other one, I mean, and honestly, like,
it almost like foregrounds then like the content of a person as opposed to the commodification of what sex they can give you, which like is stressful as fuck.
But it's also like the difference between a dating app and a hookup app. And honestly, if you're gonna ask me, I think the reason why people are more reticent to engage on that is that they don't ask you what your height is. But anyway. And then at a certain point, he called me his buddy, and I was like, okay, teams, I'm in the friend zone. This conversation is over. But ultimately, what that left me thinking with was, it's incredibly difficult to extract sex from expectation, and expectation from position, and position from power. And I also thought, like, is the assertion of a position ultimately just another existential bid for the artifice of knowledge in a cold and unfeeling and chaotic universe? And is there a way that we can talk about the potential problematic concerns of asserting a position in the context of race and class and gender and power, and still stay sexy and feel okay wanting what we want, you know? But before I hand this over to the General Council of Thoughts, Joe, I think you'd like to do a little position 101. What's the 101, son?
Like, for whatever reason, these thoughts all think that I'm the sluttiest one of the bunch and, like, have done the most ridiculous things.
So I get to,
for whatever reason.
It's based on evidence.
We have the receipts in our group text.
Fair. I get to explain just kind of what some of the terms mean. We know that a lot of our listeners will know this already, but I'm going to try to be a little shady and make it fun anyway.
There are a lot of straight people who listen to our podcast.
So
true.
when we say the word bottom, what we typically mean is the partner who is getting fucked, so the receptive partner. And one of the fun things I think about positions is that it becomes a linguistic game, and we all are here because we love writing and reading. We love linguistic games. So there are modifiers. There are power bottoms, piggy bottoms, fisting bottoms, looking around the room, bossy bottoms. Just a few examples to get us started.
I don't know who you're talking about.
What?
Dennis, with his thirst for baby arm-sized dick, might accurately be categorized as a power bottom, whereas Tommy... and his attraction to average-sized dick would just be a messy bottom.
No. Oh!
And
oh my god,
I was taking a drink, you okay. Dick.
No, so, sorry. Tommy just did a spit take. The mic didn't see it, but Tommy literally did a spit take.
That's
thank
just
you.
Rude. And that's rude.
And that was Fran, the manifestation. It's coming.
Fran, it's coming for you too, honey. Who likes to bottom because he's usually tired by the time he gets around to fucking would just be a lazy bottom.
No. I'm here for this.
Oh my sorry, god. Boys. I just cataloged messy bottom into my mind, and I'm gonna get you back.
I just cataloged yeah, baby fine. Arm dick into my mind. Thank you, so, Joe.
So I think we have, true. We have in this room we have bottoms covered, but but stepping up one step is versatile, which means you can be either a top or a bottom. So you can either be the penetrative or the receptive partner. And there are modifiers for this as well. You can be verse bottom, which means most of the time you like to bottom, but you're willing to stick it in. And there can be verse tops, which means you're most of the time you like to top, which is where we're about to go. But you'll occasionally get fucked. But I have to also add...
For the right guy.
For the right one. I have to add that certain communities, like particularly lesbian communities, queer, trans, GNC, folks in the BDSM community also use the term switch, like a switch instead of verse. Mm. And it's also important to note, just to ground our conversation, that bottoming doesn't require an anus and that topping doesn't require a dick, right? True. So it can be about an attitude. It can you can top with fingers, right? So it is...
You can have a strap on.
Exactly, right? So, and now we are arriving at the place where most people in this room like to arrive, which is at a top, which tends to be the... insertive partner.
Insertive is the word I'm going to use all week. Partner.
And I think, you know, these terms also are very gendered, right? So we often assume the bottom, the partner who's getting penetrated, is going to be more effeminate and that the top is going to be more masculine. So that is for sure something we're going
to
talk
about.
Also,
I'd like to retire. We don't have to do this, but I personally have, I would love to retire the word masculine and just use butch.
Oh my God. Mm,
okay.
I love using okay. butch because that's like an, like that, I can see that. Masculine, right, I don't know what that is.
Right.
That's like something that's been defined when I wasn't there and I don't want to see
violence.
It.
And
butch
what
is more defined. First from the gender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This message comes from iHeartRadio sponsor, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should really think about getting a quote from Mercury, because Californians save an average of $677 with Mercury. It's quick and easy, and in just a few minutes, you might find you could save a lot of money on your auto and home insurance. Plus, Mercury was named one of America's best insurance companies by Insure.com 4 years in a row. Low rates, big discounts, great insurance. Go to mercuryinsurance.com today to get a quote.
It's crazy how much we have to pay for outdated, impersonal healthcare, and even crazier that we all just accept it. It's time to face facts. Healthcare is backwards. Luckily, there's Forward, a new approach to primary care that's surprisingly personal and refreshingly straightforward. Forward never makes you feel like just another patient. Backed by top-rated doctors and the latest tech, Forward gives you access to personalized care whenever you need it. Using in-depth genetic analysis and real-time blood work, Forward's top-rated doctors provide you with in-depth insights to better understand your genetics, mental, and physical health. They then create custom, easy-to-understand plans to help guide you to achieving long-term health. With Forward, you get unlimited in-person visits with your doctor and access to care anytime via the Forward app, all for one flat monthly fee. It's time to stop accepting backwards healthcare and start moving your health forward. Visit GoForward.com today to learn more. That's GoForward.com.
Hi, this is Rex Chapman. You might know me from my former life as an NBA player or from my spectacular fall from grace, or maybe just follow me on Twitter. Now I'm hosting a new podcast called Charges with Rex Chapman.
Each episode centers around an interview with a famous athlete or entertainer who ran afoul of the law. We'll relive their rise to fame as well as their fall from grace and hear their side of the events that changed their lives forever. And really want to let people know, with the people that we're going to talk to, that you're never as bad as your worst moment, as long as you learn from it. You know, I'm planning on having guys on, guys I know, guys I don't know who've run afoul. We call it charges because you've been charged with something. It was an ugly time. It was a tough time in your life. And that moment when it happened to you is really painful to talk about. But I think it's cathartic, and I think people will get a lot out of it. Listen to Charges with Rex Chapman on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne Tha God here. And you don't want to miss Hello Somebody with Senator Nina Turner on the Black Effect Podcast Network. I love Hello Somebody simply because I love Nina Turner. She's fearless.
I'm Nina Turner, hell-raising humanitarian, sister in the struggle, and recovering elected official. Listen to Hello Somebody every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I want to start the conversation by asking you, I might have spoiled this, but asking around the table, boys, what's your position?
Might have spoiled it.
Fran, why don't you go first?
I mean, so Joe did call me a lazy bottom, and it is in part true. I personally don't like to identify with a top or bottom. I have a problem with these platitudes. I find them like super uninteresting and also like limiting to the point that you were making earlier, Joe. Like, a big part of the reason why these terms can be really limiting is that, like, in a social or like relationship context, it feels trite, or by asking that question, it kind of like implies that one answer will work out and one answer will not.
Well, for some people, that's true.
Well,
if you're a bottom.
But no, but that's not true, because two bottoms can have amazing sex.
So that is true. But I have many good friends who will be out on a date or will be talking to someone at the bar, really into them. And then they'll have this moment where both of them click. And they're like, oh, we're both bottoms. Mm. And they walk the other way.
Aww, but that's so sad. So sad. Have they never heard of a double-headed dildo?
Can just do face and hand stuff.
I've been that person before. So
I think you have done it.
I have been that person before.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. But yeah, I'm like a little bit allergic to the binaries, which is hilarious because we talk about them all the time on the show. But they're just uninteresting to me. And like, I feel like it's the same reason we don't necessarily have an issue with like Fire Island. It's like, I'm okay with the show Fire Island existing.
Totally,
because that's
too.
Someone else's truth.
Right.
And if you seek refuge in these terms, if that is your identity and that's something that's really awesome and works for you, that's what you are.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for me. It's not something that I feel like the flipping back and forth or like saying I'm one thing or another is not going to be helpful to my sexual relationship with any partner. It's also in my birth chart. Like, I like moving in and out with people's expectations
energies.
Of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, expectations or energies. So I prefer to be the catcher, if you will. Mm. And if I'm gonna, Tommy just was like, no, thank you.
Fine, we'll do it.
Tommy was
we'll
like, sports what? Like,
is that basketball?
I prefer to be the catcher a lot of times, yes, because I am exhausted. I'm so tired, and I just like.
So you're doing spoons, the laying down fucking.
No, I never do the laying down fucking. I really don't. I promise. But if someone tells me they're like, I want a bottom, I like, this is what I need, I'll be like, okay, right. I can do this.
I think that you know, there are people who like fulfilling roles and find that really sexy, and then there are people who get bored by roles and find that really unsexy, right? So I think that's kind of part of the dynamic. Yeah, but
Fran, you contested the idea that you're a people pleaser. But you're willing to do what somebody else wants you to do in the sex.
This is a very different me having sex is a very different me. I will say that.
A lot of the rules in your outside life, I feel like, go out the door.
That's so true.
A completely different thing.
Dennis, you've said that one of the reasons why you like to be a little bit of a submissive bottom is because for exactly that reason, because your outside life is one way.
And you're a boss.
Yeah. It's totally true. Well, the problem with my last really significant relationship is that we figured out that we were both bottoms, and he was like, I'm such a boss in my life. I want to kind of in his language, be a bitch in the bedroom. And I was like, well, that's a problem because so do I. And we weren't the right people for each other and it didn't work out anyway. But I think that for me, like, it's pretty simple in that I legitimately have never had a strong urge to be a top, like, sexually. Like, I have not felt that. There was one time in my life, and it was when I was in high school, and there was this cute little boy who was, like, maybe 2 years younger than me.
Joe was writing this down for evidence.
And he made me think, oh, seeing that, I can see why someone wants to, like, top. Like, I can see why men want to do that, but I just have never felt that way. And so I sort of have always acknowledged that, and it hasn't changed. But if it ever did change, then I would be open to it if it did. I think that the reason why I talk a lot about being a bottom with a lot of pride, though, is because there is so much bottom shaming.
There's a stigma. Moms.
There's a lot of bottom shaming, and there's a lot of femme shaming. And for me, I sort of feel like...
And there's a reason why a douchebag is an insult. That's bottom shaming.
Yeah. It really is. And, like, in addition to the fact that I exclusively... Like in my life, I have never, ever topped. Wow. I've never come close. One time...
Never come close?
Whoa. One time, a guy who gave me one of the best fucks I've ever had then asked me to stick my finger in his ass. And I was like, my finger feels like it's going to be crushed into something that's really flat. I just don't do that. I have no interest.
Okay, wait a minute. Lead us through this, please. Yeah,
so what did you do with your finger? Were you just like...
I mean, I literally... Yes. Like, it,
tap.
Did you put lube on it?
I know, I licked it.
No. Lube.
Okay, wait, how old were you?
That's an honest mistake.
Gay auntie moment? Lube. Just one word.
Listen, I don't mind getting paraffin-free and not having lube.
You are a professional bottom. I mean, you are built for it. Again, baby arm dick. You like that shit. No one likes that shit but you, Dennis.
And you have to realize that, like, that's... And this is something that
I didn't like doing it. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Crazy.
I remember reading in Alexander Chee's book, Edinburgh, where he was talking about the skin on the inside of the anus being one cell thick. It's the thinnest part of your body.
You have to have a conversation with it. Mm-hmm. It is not something... And I think that's one of the things about bottoming I was talking with some folks online today about how artists and poets and writers often tend to be bottoms because there's something about that vulnerability, that willingness to open oneself up, and kind of the conversation about a part of the body that is used for refuse becoming a site of pleasure, and that is something that takes an openness of spirit and a willingness to be vulnerable and try that is like very tied to maybe what type of art we make.
Well, I think
you're the only one who hasn't stated what position you play.
Much like Fran, I don't like to use a word. I think partly because it becomes like a source of identity, and that's not where my identity is located, you know?
Okay. It's not in your anus.
Not mine, but like, it's, you know, to be honest with y'all, I have never mentioned this before, but I'm not really that into anal to begin with.
Wow.
Like, it's not something that like I need to have when I'm with somebody. I'm into that frottage game, you know what I'm talking about? Just like a lot of heavy grinding and then the jack each other off. Like.
Yeah.
Just because it's like it requires so much preparation. If I want to do it and I want to do it, if I want to bottom and I want to bottom comfortably, it requires preparation. Yeah. And I prepare for things. I'm a 6 month ahead person. Like, I'm thinking about 6 months from now. But like, when it comes to like sex, I prefer things to be more spontaneous.
Oh my God.
And so I don't want to risk it. Like, that spoon shit, like fucking laying down the morning after, like that, God bless you, but I'm never fucking in the morning.
So can I ask a question around the table?
I don't know. The only meat I want to meet in the morning is bacon. You know what I'm talking about?
I love a morning.
I will suck your dick in the morning, but it is hard with my digestive system to bottom in the morning.
Well, it depends on how regular you are.
Wait,
sure.
Can I ask a question around the table? Mm-hmm. I'm going to verbally.
Yeah.
How many of you fleet?
Okay, if it's a special occasion.
Wait, fleet?
I have tell me you don't know what fleet
Dennis.
Is.
Oh, Dennis!
My God.
Dennis of all motherfucking
of
people.
Of all people.
Joe, would you like to explain it?
So fleet is a douche. That it's the brand of douche, and kind of it's become a term that people just use. Have you, it's like basically like, have you douched or have you cleaned yourself? And
Dennis is going to know what it is in 10 years.
Four years.
And as, again, a gay anti moment, there are different types of fleet. There's saline and glycerin. There's is liquid and solid.
And they're shockingly affordable.
You have to figure out what works for your body. So it's going to be like a little bit of trial and error.
Right. So what effects do they have on the body?
I mean, basically what it does, it doesn't matter. I mean, it uses the same concept, which is it's going to have a high concentrated either glycerin or salt, and that pulls water into the large intestine, which makes you have to go.
So look it up, kids.
I douche a lot, and I actually have gotten to the point where the preparation is quite erotic to me. Like, it's sexy to be like, oh, I'm about to get plowed, so I'm douching. Mm.
See, I didn't know what the term is, but I can tell you how I feel about it. I don't douche. I don't do it.
Oh, because Dennis, I won't do it. Dennis stays on this tip where Dennis knows what Dennis inside is. Like, right. Where your insides
are. I do. Really I know. Do. I know in the morning. I know. I don't like to be fucked in the morning unless, if you're going to. I've had a couple of guys where they try it and I'm like, that's fine. But, I just need 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're not giving me that 10 minutes, then you're not getting it. Like, that's not going to happen.
The brioche suisse?
Dennis. The brioche suisse. But I know my body very well. I was a competitive athlete for a long time. I know my body extremely well. I know sort of what's happening. I don't douche. I haven't douched in years, and it's never been a problem.
See, in when it comes to me, it's like fucking Russian roulette. It's like, I'm not at all in touch with my body in any respect. It's like the fucking Cave of Wonders down there. Like, I'm just not going to be in touch with it. But you might not expect this. I love a morning fuck. I do it all the time. I almost prefer it to having sex at night.
How come?
I don't know. It's just, it's super
pleasant.
You're
more inspired.
Yeah, you have more time. It's you're broad not tired. Daylight.
I know I'm going to eat breakfast afterwards. I feel like a John Legend song should be playing. Like, it's just really nice. It's a really pleasant thing.
And you kind of wake up horny, don't you?
Yeah. That's the other thing is that you wake up horny. So, yeah, I like it.
It's like cruel that for me and my body, I wake up super horny and super having to shit. It's like, that's just what my body does. It's like,
I did it one time and it was good because I was like, I don't know where, if I'm like in the thing, I just don't. And he just like licked his middle finger, shoved it in my ass, pulled it out, and he was like, looks clean enough to me. And I was like,
he did a dipstick.
That's really
he did a dipstick.
That is really fucking hot.
It's yours. I want you to have more of it. Yeah. Please take it all. It's yours.
I'm having a conniption.
That's everything. That is everything.
But I want more to the point about hi, this is Tommy again. So more to the point about like not wanting to identify as one thing or the other is just that I do feel like desirable is mutable, and I have wanted different things out of different people. Totally. And I have been shown to like different things from different people. But I think one of the reasons I would say, like, if you were had a gun to my head and you said one or the other, I would say bottom, just because like the first time I had sex with a dude, and it was like, I just felt, and this is going to sound so fucking cheesy. I'm a poet. You got to understand that's my job. But like, I felt so connected to him in that moment that it was like getting fucked and feeling him inside of me and feeling that our bodies ended less.
Yeah.
They were more together. Yeah. It was so, and I was such a miserable teenager, and it was such a moment of
joy.
Just transcendent, life-changing joy. And I was like, things can be like this.
God, being a faggot is the best.
It's the best. Praise. Cheers to that.
But what I always tell people about why I love bottoming so much is that I don't entirely feel physically complete
without if
there's not a dick inside of me. Yeah. I just feel like there's a hole, which there is.
That's a metaphor. That's an really entire chapter of your
Dennis's
book.
Dennis's sex life is a metaphor. I'm not a top. This is Joe. Everyone who knows me knows that I'm not a top. But I do think I'm militantly verse, and I am not happy unless I'm able to have moods that take me in one direction or the other. And I've definitely dated people who are one thing or the other, like verse bottom, where verse is in 2-point font and bottom is bolded and in Comic Sans and in 50-point font. And like, that's fine as long as I get once every 6 months, I just get plowed, right? So, and I think what I'm most attracted to, and I think Fran was talking about this, I actually really love when people resist expectations. So like when you have someone who's super femme, for example, and you're like, oh, this person's a bottom. And then you get them in bed and they turn and they just turn you. And you just like, that to me, and
because
the same
there is
thing,
a such thing yes. as a high femme top.
A high femme top. Yeah. And so there is such a thing as a quote, I mean, a butch bottom. And that's also super sexy to me. Someone who exists in one way in the world.
I find
bedroom.
That really sexy too.
And, no, totally. I mean, so it's almost like drag in a way. I'm really attracted to drag. I'm really attracted to people who exist in all of their complications and kind of embrace them both in and out of the bedroom.
Yeah. But isn't there something about like that about top and bottom and verse that like I just feel so like vacuous or like they make you tired? Like
not for me.
To expand on this though, like why would you rather say I'm verse rather than say I like sex and like the and like I don't necessarily need to have a term for it.
Well, I think a lot of people are pretty unimaginative.
That is true.
And it's also helpful to have something that, I mean, this is the thing about language, right? And this is the thing about like thought and the thing about ambiguity and the thing about humanity and existence and all these other things that I was bringing up in the introduction. But like, it is sometimes comforting. Definition can be comforting.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. To offer a point of devil's advocacy to the point that I just made.
Yeah.
Like, the show could just be Fran arguing with himself.
I literally could be. Right.
Oh my God. If we had a segment amazing. Called Fran versus Fran.
Coming up next episode. But yet, I.
That
do,
would be the thought counter thought.
I, right. Well, in my professional life, I really resist these. I resist these categories. I. Edit them out of issues of Hello Mister when I don't feel like they're incredibly relevant. Like I work to like be, oh, I hate this, but like post gay, which is
but
like
Fran,
a, I know, but just to,
no, but you are a member of the gay mafia, right? So as much as you say I'm post gay, like I edit the cliched shit out of, you work at Hello Mister, which is a gay magazine. You're a member of the gay mafia. You're on the gay Instagram. Like you profit off of these categories.
Well, profit is a difficult word to dissect. However, the counterweight to the point that I was making is that like I also love very superficial platitudes that make my life easier. Mm. To your point, categories. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we seek comfort in categories. Sometimes our lives are complicated enough and this thing can just be uncomplicated.
Right.
Which is kind of why it's easier to have conversations by referring to it as top and bottom. So like, I'm arguing with myself. But like another counterpoint to all this is like, sometimes it's physiological. Sometimes it's psychological.
Totally.
Sometimes your dick doesn't work for a certain position. And like, you're like, I'm never going to do that. Or sometimes, I mean, people who've suffered from sexual abuse don't want to have receptive sex because they're victims of sexual abuse.
Right.
So like, these are things, the counterweights to all my point about why people might seek labels.
Like, I do think, cliche is an interesting thing, right? Because it's like, we kind of can deride someone for being a gay cliche at the same time as we want to be able to embrace that. Speaking of like the Fire Island TV show. And I think David Foster Wallace has an essay wherein he argues.
I'm sorry.
Really? So Fran rolled his eyes at David Foster Wallace and Tommy vomited at the word essay.
because you're citing David Foster Wallace to talk about Fire Island.
But
which is the best part about this
what
show.
What he says is that cliches are cliches because they're true. They hold a universal truth in them.
He can't possibly have been the first person to say that.
I mean, I don't think so, but
just FYI.
Thank you, Dennis.
He lays it out really nicely in an essay in talking about using cliches in writing, right? Mm-hmm. And it speaks to this notion of like, what do we embrace from labels and what do we use as a framework that's meaningful for us and what do we reject as as oppressive or violent. Go, Tommy.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, how are those, like, personal? And then how are those more of a community definition or one where you're like, that doesn't work for me, but that can work for you, and I don't give a fuck. Like, it's like, I could use top, bottom, verse, but if it was a verb, and I would feel fine with that. Mm. But when it becomes a noun, that's when I have trouble applying it to myself.
So good.
But people play with it. People use it as drag, right? People, like, that's why it was so fun for me to write the 101 intro because like I can walk around with two limp wrists being like I'm a top and everyone knows that I'm not right. You can make it your own and use it in subversive ways. It's like you use these terms that are seemingly oppressive or boxing you in and people, you make them playful and you make them your own.
It's impossible to not pivot from this to power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly where we're going.
Because Okay, so for example, like I included a few things in the doc that were from moments that topping and bottoming has been used to connote a power relationship between Absolutely. Two people in like film. One of them in particular was Total Eclipse, which is a movie about Rimbaud and Verlaine's relationship starring mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio. And like I feel like I saw that movie before. Yeah, I was definitely a virgin when I saw that movie. And so this is another thing I want to talk to you, and I want to hear what your opinions on this is. When there's the close-up shot of the straight actor's face as he's quote-unquote bottoming for the first time, mm-hmm. that, like, pained, like, oh, mm-hmm. God, I can't believe this is happening. And this happens to Daniel Radcliffe as he's playing Allen Ginsberg in Kill Your Darlings. You know, in every gay, and in gay porn, too. They like to pretend that it hurts and that it continues to hurt. And it's like, just, maybe in the very beginning, it's a little bit of a discomfort if you haven't stretched yourself out, which is something that, I mean, I do.
But we don't do it because it hurts. We do it because it feels fucking amazing.
Right. So two things. First of all, I just want to make the point that Leonardo DiCaprio movie is unrealistic because in no existence of any world would Leonardo DiCaprio not be a bottom. Leonardo DiCaprio is the bottomiest bottom that has ever bottomed, and that is so ridiculous that he is the top in that scene. Yeah. However, when I saw Kill Your Darlings, I thought that sex scene to be incredibly honest. I didn't see Daniel Radcliffe's facial expressions as too overwrought. Granted, it's like Daniel Radcliffe, so I couldn't quite create that dissonance in like my imaginative brain, but because he's a straight
it's
actor.
It's just Harry Potter getting fucked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But when it first happened, it wasn't too much facial expression, and I was like, I really appreciate this. And I also, his character would bottom in that situation. Allen Ginsberg,
yeah.
I know, a bottomy bottom, but the way he characterized Allen Ginsberg was also, it fit that description. Right. So when it happened, I was like, I felt very honest to me.
But the thing about that scene in particular, though, in Kill Your Darlings was, in addition to Allen Ginsberg getting fucked in this scene, you have William S. Burroughs stabbing himself with like a needle for drugs.
Right.
You have Lucien Carr stabbing David Kamerer in the park, and you have Jack Kerouac listening to a recording of a soldier talking about embedded shrapnel that can't be taken out. So there's all of these like stabbings happening as he's like bottoming for the first time, and that's what I felt like made it overwrought. No,
the movie is flawed. The film is
the context
flawed.
Was a bit much.
Right.
But I mean, I have two things. One is that like bottoming is opening up your body literally for someone else to come inside, and mm-hmm. that's one of the like existentially magical things about it, is it breaks down the barrier mm-hmm. between two bodies in a way that like demands a lot from a person, in particular the bottom. And then in terms of power, Tommy, I think that we all have the notion, or pop culture has the notion, or people have the notion that the bottom is the one being attacked or aggressed or not having the power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a very good friend, Tina Horn, who's written an amazing essay about erotic irony and what happens where the person who seemingly has no power, this happens a lot in BDSM, where a person mm-hmm. who seemingly has no power is actually in control of everything, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. I think every bottom is a bossy bottom. And what that means is that the bottom is really in control. And it can even be a scene where to look at it, it looks like the bottom is having their hair grabbed or just being aggressed. But they actually, a slight movement of their body or a slight shake of their head or a slight indication that their mm-hmm. pleasure is not being served changes everything. And mm-hmm. so it's actually that the bottom is completely driving. The bottom has the power.
And that's, I guess, how like, I see it. That's another reason why I find the language very flawed around talking mm-hmm. about topping mm-hmm. and bottoming. Just saying something is actif or passif mm-hmm. in like French mm-hmm. or whatever, like that there's this expectation that the person who is the insertive partner is the vigorous or the active one, and the person who is receptive is the one who is like lazy or
well, I mean, Fran is a cliche.
Well, but that's the thing that I was gonna say on Dennis's point. Like, I mean, he beat me to it, but it's, I see control in my professional life, in my personal life, in my romantic life. Right. I tend to prefer bottoming, and I don't think that's a lack of control. I think
not at all, as
Dennis said, the control is in looking at him and saying fuck me. Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. literally still an out of control. That's not necessarily to the point that also Tommy's trying to make. We're fucking complicated. Like, who'd have thunk mm-hmm. that we could like traverse these terms and these platitudes and like exist outside of them?
And that's like sex and art are the spaces where we are allowed to be the most complicated versions of ourselves. Yes. Like the most, like some nights I can just, as a militant verse person, sometimes I can be the piggiest bottom and the toppiest top, right? And my writing can go from science writing to something Pisces emo over the top in the same sentence. And allowing ourselves that complication is really like the magic of the work that we're trying to do.
Speaking of complicated, can I ask you, have there been creative ways that people have had to divine from you on a date, whether you're a quote-unquote top or a quote-unquote bottom, or are there ways that you have creatively tried to divine that out of somebody else? Without asking, I mean, unless, you know, you or somebody else has just asked you straight up, like, on a date. That seems so tacky to me, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, we usually have a conversation before there's a date. Like, I don't want to waste anyone's time. Also, it's so.
He's Dennis.
Well, to be, I've yet to meet a man who expected me to top. But and I don't know entirely how to feel about that, because on the one hand, I'm like, well, there are men who are very femme who are also tops. Like, that exists. And for all you know, I could be. But I like to rely on that so that there's not a lot of confusion, because I don't want to waste anyone's time.
I think exactly. Everyone assumes I'm a bottom, and I often try to correct that purposely. And to bring this into the conversation, people assume that I'm a bottom because I'm white. And I'm a twunk, so I'm a little.
A twunk.
And I'm often, you know, a lot of my friends are people of color. So if you have a white boy who is typically around men of color,
he's a bottom.
He's a bottom.
Although I assumed you were a top.
So I think that like these terms are also racialized, right? It's like you have the BBC and the white bottom. It's like you have like the Latin man who's like, you know, big and strong and is going to fuck
and
you.
Hung as fuck and uncut.
You know, so the...
Just really quick. Joe did not mean by BBC the British Broadcasting Corporation. No.
What did he mean, Tommy?
I can't even say it. I can't even say it. It's so gross.
Well, you can Google it.
Say it. Google it.
I think if you don't know.
Don't Google it at work, though.
I'm not going to say it.
I mean, okay, big black cock.
Yeah.
There. Like... It's a thing. I do get asked, though, by men sometimes if I have that. And I'm like, did you read my profile where it says femme bottom?
Yeah.
Like, did you read it?
What's funny about assuming that Joe was a top was that you also assumed that I was, too, the first time you met me.
I did, because you top when you give readings. Right. And I totally thought that. But then when I actually met you, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Wait.
This bitch is a bottom.
So you pegged me as a bottom, no pun intended?
Because that's the only way Fran would be able to...
Fran. Fran, come on.
No pun intended. That was a bold face line.
I mean, boo. Okay.
But I surprised y'all. I went through like two different relationships where I was the top, exclusively the top. So yeah. Everyone shut up.
Am I the only one who's never topped?
Yes.
Yeah. Stable.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm very proud of that fact.
I could tell.
I did twice. Thing.
We revel in these categories and these identities because we own them and they make us feel powerful. So who cares?
I've got that I'm full, but I could still fit one thing left inside of me.
As long as it's not a baby arm.
Dennis knows what I'm talking about.
I'm ready for all of it.
Please, can we stop saying baby arm? No, because it's just so accurate. It's like such an accurate visual.
Disgusting. Moving on. This week, I want to offer up a serving of this Brazilian R&B soul band, Liniger e os Caramelos, as it relates to dessert specifically.
A gente fica mordido, não fica...
I would like to offer up this track, Zero, because it starts off talking about biting and teeth, and so I think it's an apt fit for a meal. And also, from what little I know about Portuguese, and in particular Brazilian Portuguese, there's a different verb for to get bitten with teeth versus like getting bitten by an insect or something like that. Yeah. Thought you would like it. So, Liniger e os Caramelos released their first album, Remonata, last year, but had earlier gained success after a YouTube video of them performing went viral. And the lead singer, Liniger, is a black trans woman and talks explicitly about the importance of trans visibility in music and art and how the personal is political. And yes. I read this NPR profile on her that read, Raised by a single mother, Barros has said that being Black, poor, and queer is empowering. Writing to NPR via email, Liniker says being a Black trans woman on stage is, quote, political because we need representation. Mm. Society tries to invisibilize and delegitimize our existence. It's extremely important, not just for me, but for each of us, to be occupying all positions,
mm-hmm. yes.
the stages in the countries to continue to resist
yes.
and exist.
Yes.
And she doesn't just talk about trans people being obscured and delegitimized abstractly. She also said in this interview, I think with Statesman Media, she was like, look, the murder rate of trans, mm. lesbian, and gay people in Brazil is the highest in the world. I don't know if that, I didn't verify that fact, but that's what she said. Which adds another layer of urgency to her music. Right. And she advocates not only for herself, but for her community. And they were just recently in South by Southwest, which was their first show abroad after having played all over the place in Brazil. And I yep. think, like, as shitty as this year has been, and as shitty as this time has been, and as shitty as, like, the shit place that the American Empire is in, it is such an exciting time for queer POC music. Like, I'm thinking mm. about Sid from the internet. I'm thinking about Young M.A., this punk band, I Nico, Shamir. I'm sure we could list a bunch.
Leaf, yeah. Cakes the Killer.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tunde Alani Ron, Kalani, Kalela, Mickey Blanco. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alinda Segarra of Hooray for the Riff Raff. You guys don't listen to Hooray for the Riff Raff. It is a train that I have just gotten on. It's so good.
Tell us about that train.
Oh, my God. It's just, I mean, it's a Brazilian folk band, and the lead singer is queer, and they're just like... It brings me back to my... So, I loved listening to folk music growing up, but it's all white people. Mm-hmm. And so, to have a brown person playing folk music was... such a refuge for
which
me.
Is fucked up, because mm-hmm. the origins of folk music are not even white.
Yeah, it really is. They're not all fucking Sufjan Stevens right? and all that shit. Sorry. I mean, the point is, the reason it's so exciting for queer brown music right now is that... we deserve more than Sam Smith.
We just...
snaps to that. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Well, no, it's true. Queers deserve more than Sam Smith. And we, as queer brown people, just deserve more.
Some awesomeness anyway. More, period.
More, yeah. period. Yeah. yeah. And like, I feel like the grand media... and maybe this is a slightly sheltered thing to say, but I feel like the mediascape of music over the last maybe year or even a few years has become more, quote, diverse. I hate saying the word yeah. diverse, but like more diverse immensely, because I know that when I first started listening to queer music, the only things I had to look to were Perfume Genius and Sam Smith. Mm-hmm. Perfume Genius is amazing. I'm not a fan of Sam Smith.
Can we talk, but there was fucking Sylvester, you guys, yeah. like who didn't get the entry into like the mainstream in the same way that other artists did. But if y'all haven't listened to Sylvester and know about their history and who they are,
you
like,
oh, make me feel
mighty real. It's so good. I can't sing. But
in addition to that, I mean, the wonderful thing about Liniker is that the music tackles queer content. Yes. Not innately queer or inherently queer. It's explicitly queer. Yeah, yeah. Where Sam Smith is like, I got my heart broken by he or she. Yeah.
Just like, oh, he's one of those, I happen to be gay.
Right. It's like milky gays. And non-committal. Yeah. And like, yeah, I feel like Liniker and them, they have like, what they're doing is not only announcing sexuality in gender, yeah. all that kind of thing, but like complicating what it means to be a brown queer person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, because I feel like a lot of people sacrifice political content for representation. I feel like Sam mm-hmm. Smith is a part of that. Like, I will be a kind of neutral version of myself in order to sell a lot of albums. And what you see with a lot of these newer groups, you know, from Leaf to Linique, is that, like, no, like, I'm going to be my most out loud self, mm-hmm. and either you buy my album or you don't, and fuck you, yeah. like, regardless. So, mm-hmm. it ignore the kind of respectability politics and the question of representation is being flipped on its head, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, Liniker, Caramelos, we rep you.
Yes.
Thank you for that little bit of desserts.
Scrumptious.
Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé. Our engineer is Alex Mead Fox at Spaceman Sound Studios in the heart of industrial Greenpoint, New York. And our producer is the human smile emoji, Alexandra De Palma. I'm Tommy Pico. You can find me at HeyTeebs, HeyTeebs on all relevant social media.
I am Joseph Osmondson. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com.
And I'm Fran. You can find me at FranSquishCo on any social media you want.
And I'm Dennis, and you can find me on Twitter at the Earl Denden, TheEarlDenDen.
Thank you, Thoughts. Make sure to hit us up on May 23rd, where we're doing a live show featuring the release of my book, Nature Poem, from Tin House. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes to help catapult us towards fame and fortune and inevitably Betty Ford. Find us on Twitter at Food for Thought Pod, Facebook, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Sign up for our newsletter for episode insights, reading lists, and extra delectable content at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. And finally, email us with your questions, thoughts, concerns, and we just might answer them in a segment called Penny for Your Thoughts.
Send us those dick pics.
At thoughts@foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number four, and thoughts spelled how?
T-H-O-T.
Thanks for listening.
Love
See you
thoughts.
In a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.